You think you know about relationships, but you're wrong. Listen, there's no magic bullet. I'm teaching life skills.
When he's sick, you need medicine. It don't always taste good.
Nah.
But it'll get you better. You need this medicine.
Yeah.
It ain't gonna always taste good, but this is what you need. Men and women, bottom line, we need to have the conversation. Your partner wants to give up control, but only if you know how to drive. This is about being the best you could ever be, whoever you are. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, LGBTQ, space aliens. I'll save anybody. I don't care. I'll teach a hedgehog how to have a threesome.
What do you mean by that?
Look, you don't have to listen to me, but you're wrong.
Listen, I know I'm great. And I know you're thinking, Dante, there's no way I could be like you. But you could be me, you know why?
Because you know who I was before I was me? I was you! You
man score 202.
Better hear what I've got to say because you won't get it again.
I'm not an alpha male. I'm not a beta male either. I'm just a better man. Better man.
Well, put your happiness first, because if you don't, they won't.
GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The sexual revolution is being podcasted, and I am fucking excited.
Wow.
Now, I know I've said that 500 times before, but this time I mean it. For real. We got a special guest on the building, but first and foremost, Harry, what's popping? You ready for this?
Oh, my God. You know damn well I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm excited about life, even though I'm in between trying to keep these gators down, and I'm having a tough time doing it.
It is difficult. Trey, you ready to rock and roll? You got your Sunday hoodie on, ready to rock out.
Sunday's best and well dressed.
His formal hoodie.
Your formal hoodie.
Performance hoodie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I
also leaning into the mic. That's how you know he's intense. I think that's the gangster thing that all the kids are doing now. Andre,
shut the fuck up, Harry.
Oh, Jesus!
Damn, right. This was all the hostility. Let me introduce my guest. Now here's a crazy fellow podcaster. Let me tell the story. First of all, let's introduce Weezy. Give it up for Weezy, y'all. Give it up for Weezy from the Horrible Decisions podcast.
Yes, my name is Weezy, and I am asthmatic. That's where it comes from.
She's like, I am Weezy, and I am asthmatic.
That was terrible. You know, people will ask me why I chose this name, and I'm like, it was clearly given to me. Like, you think if I wanted a nickname,
nobody picks
Weezy?
That. Yeah. It could have had some other, you know, some other kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, what's it like, a thesaurus, like a synonym for wheeze? For wheeze.
I mean, I probably should have spelled it Whezy. But I, you know, so people can understand medically, I really do be wheezing. Sometimes I wheeze on the mic. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's embarrassing at this point.
So let me give the background of how I met Wheeze. I've gotten emails and stuff. Yo, you should go on their podcast. And they were getting stuff for me to go on theirs. And Weezy ain't no joke, because, like, she don't really take no shorts. So she was like, why you want me to put this nigga on? I don't even understand why you want to. And they were coming at Weezy like, yo, you got to get this nigga Dante on. Spit that game, you know, and she was like, whatever.
For me, it was like, you know, my podcast is focused on Black people and kink, and it's very feminist, and I'm like, you want me to have somebody on here just talking about man school? Hell no. Let him get them on his own.
Right.
You know what's interesting is, I feel like we all know this as podcasters. You have an episode, and when you vibe in, you know it's about to be a great episode.
Yeah.
I loved everything Dante was saying, but I didn't know how it would be received. And what the feedback I was so impressed was that women really felt like, even though what he was saying was some toxic shit, they're like, I feel like he was really helping me not get played.
Yeah,
and by
right.
toxic shit, I mean in terms of some of your past life experience, not necessarily the life lessons you were giving people, but
you know,
about how women can be molded and groomed into doing certain things, and how they need to feel loved in order to basically sell their pussy for you.
Which is
the story that he told on my show.
Well, here's what happened. I'm going to tell you, well, I got a little difference of opinion. So the pimp shit and all of that shit was like, it's a portion of my life that I don't deny it, because I just don't, it's the truth. And so I think we get to a certain point in our life, but it's the things that we do to get that get us there. We're all flawed, and we're all two things that we're always going to have to do as human beings is either ask for forgiveness or give forgiveness. And so, you know, we're flawed and we're trying to find our way. And how I got there is that was part of my life, and I don't denounce it. Plus, there's always some nigga digging up in your background trying to bring you down a peg. And so if you talk about it, it doesn't give them any foothold to say, oh, this motherfucker, guess what I found out.
Your truth, so they don't hold it against you.
Right. So that was it. And so they kind of brought me on, and they wanted to talk about the pimp shit. But, you know, there's a fundamental principles about – you know, just grooming and manipulating, and there's a you have to have an understanding of people in order to do that. And so we talked about that for a little while, but we literally made that right turn and made it universal. And man, I want to say I had such, please check out her podcast. It was so fucking dope. Like the vibe from the time we got on there, it was, you know, and I know, you know, anytime I go on somebody's podcast and they, oh, this nigga here, you know, they like, because the first thing she asked me was like, so why we gotta, and I was like, because I do this. And she was like, oh, right. And then, but right, it came from a real honest place, and we had a ball. We had a fucking ball.
Episode is on YouTube. If you can, it's up there on the Horrible Decisions page.
Yeah, what I don't know what episode is, but if you just put Dante Nero in it, it'll come
people
up.
People loved you in that YouTube. I was shocked. I just knew some girls were going to be like, because we were, you know, I mean, I think that's the great thing about when you have men and women on podcasts with opposing opinions. Like, I think it's very important to combat those ideas because one of our listeners is not always going to agree with us.
Right,
it's
right.
It's amazing to have somebody that's not always, you know, complicit in what you're saying. Like, right, I love being a contrarian with things like that.
Right, and the pushback was really good. And then the real understand, I mean, because the truth is what the truth is, whether you like it or you don't like, I always say this, that, you know, anybody who's a liar, they ain't going to like me. If you lie, you ain't going to like me. And if you're in some kind of way where you feel as though you're, you know, if you're misrepresenting yourself, you're also not going to like me because you're going to be exposed, you know. And we had such a good time, I think, because, you know.
192, that's the episode number Harry just asked. Jack of all hoes.
That's the name of it.
I didn't name it. Hoes.
Let me tell you why. We came to ask Dante one damn thing, right, about the pimping. And then it was the stripping. I was like, you look like a security guard. Well, I did that too. He's telling us about medical shit. Oh, when you're not feeling good. And you know what about the period? Oh, and also we're going to do this. Jack and all those, he knows too much.
Yeah. Well, that's how you get in that game. You got to know it all. You got to be ready for all things. It's funny. Harry and I, Harry and Dre, how long we been cool? 7 years? Six, seven, well, something like that.
I've been doing comedy 9 now.
Right, so, but I didn't know you in the beginning. Yeah, I got so to know you.
Like, probably seven. It's like six.
Six, seven. And Harry known me for almost 20. And I still will hit Harry.
Oh, sure,
and Harry,
yeah.
I still will hit Harry with a story that he never. I'm like, remember when I was in a cult? He was like, nigga, what? This is the year 20. When were you in a cult?
The thing is, the weird part is you'll be talking about something else like swimming. He goes, oh, yeah, well, when I was like captain of the swim team or whatever, he goes, this is how you dive. You're like, what? Captain? Well, yeah, after my fencing scholarship fell through.
Oh, my God.
And you're like, but, you know, before I was doing pit fighting, you're like, what? What do you
listen, my, that is Barry Dante, I guess, and I don't even know him well.
My fencing scholarship did not fall through. It was a 2-year scholarship, so don't shortchange me.
Fair enough. but you did get kicked out from fucking all the cheerleaders on the college campus.
You was a cheerleader, too?
Nah, I dabbled.
What, nigga? You was out here putting girls in.
I was like, you could let a girl just sit on your hand, right? No, I never.
See, but I believed it for a second because it's not improbable. You go, well, I was lifting him up anyway.
Look at Weezy's face. She said, yeah, it probably could have been. It could have been.
I mean, you know what? It's funny when I think about cheerleaders. This is so random, but I'm bisexual, and when I was a kid, the movie came out.
That's
called,
what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. I just looked.
Do you remember the movie, But I'm a Cheerleader?
No, what was that? No, who was in it?
I think it was Natasha Lyonne. And they had her in this movie. Basically, she was a cheerleader, and I was too. And that was when I first realized I might really be gay, because I remember looking up, and I wouldn't like checking to make sure she wouldn't fall.
Right, right.
And in the movie, like, they kept telling her she has to go to like this gay reversal camp, and she's like, "I'm a cheerleader." And it was an amazing fucking movie. And honestly, like cheerleaders, it's crazy because there's this whole gymnastic world, but it's totally sexualized. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And when I meet men that like are male cheerleaders, I'm always like, "And so you're not gay? How many of them did you fuck? Like, right, what right. could be?" I really need to know, when a straight guy joins the cheerleader squad, what are you thinking? What's your goal? What do you want?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What would you do?
I really love backflips, yo.
Yeah.
Also,
I like holding stuff up, man. That's where
big,
I come
it's
from.
It's big niggas too, because they gotta toss you around. Diesel motherfuckers holding you up with one hand and all kinds of shit like that.
They just do soap.
Yeah. Did you do that stuff?
I wasn't light enough to be lifted, so I was the lifter.
I was gonna say, Weez, you a little top heavy. To be you a little top heavy.
Nah, I couldn't lift people up. But you ruined that pyramid. Step team, and I got kicked off the step team. I can't remember why. Maybe I was fighting. So I was like, "Fuck these hoes! I'm about to go cheerleader." And then I started being a cheerleader, and I was in there like. It was like, bring it on for real. I was like, damn, y'all be doing some boring ass cheers. But, no, I was lifting girls up and shit like that. And
Weezy was lifting people up with an open hand. Like, yo, you got to do a flat hand. She's just finger popping people and lifting them up.
But it's weird because you got to hold them by the shoe. And it's like, I don't like that either because they, like, you know. And then the other thing is, like, when they fall down, they fall so hard. They ask you all in your face and shit. Like, I always just felt like I was more at risk than the person that was up there, so...
You know that cheerleader, you know that they get more injuries than anybody else, the cheerleading squad. Did you know that? Than any other sport.
Really?
Dog, I saw this documentary on, first of all, it's a scam because you know that the costumes all come from the same place. Like there's a monopoly on all the costume and all the cheering and all the events and stuff. It's a straight scam, and this one company has it, and they were fighting for insurance purposes because so many girls were getting hurt because you literally are tossing girls in the air.
I've been hurt. It was just from legs coming down on my neck, being kicked on accident. I mean, a lot of that stuff. And then not to mention your knees. My knees are terrible from that. And I'm 30 years old. Like, it's crazy. But, yeah. I mean, I'm not a sporty one. I'll say that. You know, I do a little tennis. That was a quarantine COVID pickup. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know why I did that. I think I wanted to feel more dainty. And it just made me realize that I was more gay than I thought I was. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you 60-40 or 50-50 or what? What's the deal?
I would say more recently, just because, I mean, I've been dating, you know, a man. It's been over a year and just fucking him. So now, like, 65-35 as far as, like, maybe hetero. But throughout my lifetime, I believe 50-50. And I only say that because there's a thing called this Kinsley scale. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No,
and
sure.
If you take a look at it, you have?
Dr. So
it
has Kinsley, a man,
yeah. Yeah, on the scale. And it basically says... You're either a 1, completely hetero, or like a 10, completely homosexual. And like there's some people that are in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And there are days where maybe I'm more one than the other. But for the most part, when I'm looking at people out, I think it's the same. That's the only reason I think it's 50-50. Mm. When I'm out and I look at a woman or a man, if they're both on the train, I'm both attracted to them, my mind goes both ways. I don't really prioritize one over the other. But from a romantic perspective, when I'm with men, there's one thing that's different. I want to fuck girls.
Oh, you want to fuck girls?
And when I'm saying like I just want to fuck them. But when I'm with women romantically, sometimes I miss men emotionally.
Really? So you're more 65-30 or 70-30 guy to. So you still like the comfort of that? The
I think that this, maybe this the masculinity of men that make me feel that way, because when I date women, I date the girliest girls because I already like niggas. So what's the point of getting a butch chick when I could just, you know? And that's no shade to butch women.
That's like me in fast cars. Like, I don't believe in fast cars. I rode bikes all the time, and I've done 196 on a bike at a time. And once you do that, it's like what you're saying. It's like, why would I get in a car? Like, it's nothing compares.
You are the analogy king, but yes.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Where the fuck is this heat? Where the fuck are you going with this shit?
She does that all the time, and then she's like, oh, okay, I got it, okay.
I didn't get it.
Weezy, you never miss the, you said you miss the emotionality or the emotional connection with men, but not the emotional connection with women when you're with a man. Is that my understanding?
Correct. And that's
okay. You like the dude, and when you're with a girl, like, you're the aggressive.
A little bit, but I will say, I think that that happens to me, Harry and Dante, because when I am in a relationship, I do very well in relationships. I eat better. I'm healthier. Like, I'm not getting fucked up. I'm not trying to go party or do jokes or whatever it might be. It makes me very stable. And stability sometimes comes for me, or me feeling okay or emotionally safe comes from a dominant person.
Right.
And it may be a motherly figure, a fatherly figure, a teacher type of thing. I don't know what it is, but generally I do look at men in that way.
Right.
And women just can't give it to me. I feel like I've tried to have it, but it's very hard. I don't know why. My ex-girlfriend, she was amazing. I have no issue with her, but I think that was something that was hard for her.
Like, to give you that kind of rock to lean, that somebody
like,
to lean
on. As fuck. You're not about to, what are we going to do when somebody busts through the door? Like, I can't, it's weird.
It's interesting because you just said that you don't go for a tough girl. So in a way, you're looking for the comfort of being taken care of to whatever degree that means by a man. And, but you don't have that with a woman because you're not going for that at all. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, or you're kind of doing it to yourself in a way. Not that I'm blaming you.
But I think that what the issue is, like, you know, there's a lot of different types of people, so to speak. We can say, as far as like your sexual orientation, you can be a pansexual person, which means that you don't have a choice between men or women, right?
Like,
you just, it's people. And I think that when I start dating women, that happens. And then long term, I realize that the larger issue is that masculinity factor, right? But maybe I just need to get with a girl who's strap up, and I'll be all right.
Yeah, but you also find that, like, and I've we've interviewed a couple of like dominatrix and stuff, and even dominatrix is like, they still want that masculine element. Like, they'll go strap on and fuck a dude, but they won't date a dude that they fuck. Or it's almost like this emasculation of it.
I think that comes into what's your kink or your fetish, and what's something that you want every day when it comes to that, right? I think that there's a lot of duality in people.
Right.
Which is what happens with me with women and men, right? But for the dominatrix thing that you're talking about, I just know that with sex work, a lot of people do things that they may not have done in their everyday life. And I think that's why it's that way. My co-host particularly talks about pegging a lot and how she enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
Her current partner doesn't want to be pegged, but she's always said, like, I'd be able to do to let me peg him, because she's taken out the thing of getting fucked in the ass is emasculating.
Right.
That, I think it's all how we look at it. With doms in particular, I think that the reason that happens is because it's a way to separate their work and their real life. So it's like, this is just something I'm going to do, and even if this is not the type of person I'll be with. But I don't know. I would say, at least as far as sex, I'm submissive with everybody, men or women.
Right.
But I'm a lazy bitch.
You think that's where it comes from? You're like,
I'm low effort.
I just want
to be like, get on top.
You know what? I say this all the time, and women who like wear the strap on and whatever, you don't know. Understand? It takes a lot of core strength, a lot of endurance.
A strap on. A lot of people don't think about the weight. It's not just core strength.
The distribution.
So, like, you can't.
Yo, son, I think about that weight all the time. You know what I mean?
We like heavy dicks and we want a heavy strap. And yeah. Like, oh my God, sometimes like if you don't have the right thing, it's very expensive. I had to hold it because like the harness wasn't straight. It's a lot of work. I actually prefer to scissor. I don't like strapping up because I think it's just too much work.
But, with sex toys in general, you get what you pay for. You splurge a little, live a little.
You do. I've got one next to me in this house.
That's our resident dirtbag. Andre's our Harry's our resident dirtbag.
What are you talking about? Just on occasion, I like to take things up a notch. That's all.
Hey, listen. Hey, I'm not judging. I'm not judging. I'm just stating a fact.
You know, what's wrong with some light choking, as our last guest Amanda once said?
Little tie wraps. What's wrong with tie wraps? Huh?
Fair enough.
But I
mic think, muted.
Oh, my mic.
Her mic is muted.
Oh, her mic. Are you
I'm
back
good now.
There we go. Sorry.
I'm here.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. Like, you know, we were talking. Like, you know, when I did your show, we were delving into the relationships, and it's like, you know, it's funny because you was like, why would I have man school and when, and but the reality is this, like you said, that there's this duality. I mean, when we started this podcast, we did it, you know, to give men guidance because they didn't have any, you know, there was nobody talking about the stuff that we were talking about in the context.
It's very necessary too. And I, you know, I was joking when I said that, but I think that even from you holding men accountable, you know, as much as we joked around with, I think that the issue with men and even myself with dating, right, is a lot of men don't know that man that they want to be. They know like, or they have no steps to get there. Let me take that back. I think I've dated many men that will look me dead in the face and be very serious when they say, yes, I want kids. Of course I want a wife. Of course I want family. Of course I want generational wealth. But there's no puzzle solving. How are you going to get there? That has to start immediately with me, right? You being chivalrous, you trying to, build something with me, but they don't know how to get there. Yeah. And I think that you're very conscientious of trying to show men that
how to get there.
I think that's a process. You know, even if you don't get there, how to be a dirtbag, if Harry teach you, teach me, take me to school.
Right. And there's nothing more attractive than being with somebody who teaches you something. You know, who you feel enhances you. And we were talking about this on your show, how I said a woman doesn't date a guy unless he's better than her. And better being a relative term, whatever you particularly perceive as better is because it's something that where somebody, it's really about you bringing value to other people's life.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that a lot of people associate that from a financial perspective. Mm-hmm. The last person that I pursued or was in love with and that I, you know, didn't end up with, he was not he didn't make as much as I did, but I consistently felt as though he was enriching my life because I believe he's way smarter than me. He is. Mm-hmm. Reads more than me, knows more than me, is older than me. I just have a different circumstance.
Right.
And I think that women sometimes get blinded by that. And even I have done that a few times in my past where I equated finance to, oh, if he's not here, I can't be with him because I want to be here with someone.
Right.
When they weren't really stimulating me in other ways, right? Yeah. I talked to a bunch of rich niggas and what did I end up with? What a bag.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nice bag though, right? I mean, you
know. Nice. I still got it.
It's interesting because you can't really, and I'll find this about guys a lot of times, guys will define, they'll be trying to define what the woman wants from them. Like I had a guy, I had a dude call me from Puerto Rico. And he was like, yo, there's this older woman, she keeps coming. He was in a Walmart in Puerto Rico and this woman kept coming, an older Spanish lady, and she kept coming in and she was like, hi, papi, blah, 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 blah. You know, she was, you know, flirting with him and stuff like this. And, you know, she would come in and kiss him. Like she, you know, got to the point where she would kiss him in the mouth. And he was like, yo, I think I'm going to ask her out. And I go, yeah, maybe you oughta.
Right. After and the getting first, kissed on the mouth, like, kissed, ah, she, I think she's this coming, chick I, might be into
I,
me.
Hi, puppy. She's kissing him in the mouth. And the first thing he says to me, yeah, but you know, I don't have no car. And I go, at what point did she start kissing you in the mouth? Did she ask you what kind of car you have before she? It wasn't like he's putting value on the fact that which she's not even thinking
and
about.
He's also playing the same song that he's kind of had in his head, like the losing mentality. So he's used to losing or feeling that way and just assuming like, well, this is the next step in the process is for me to go, oh, this can't happen because I don't have a car. Right. That's just
and
him being
here's
negative.
The thing, and somebody might not even say that. I mean, what's interesting is the honesty of it, the authenticity of it. If you're putting it, it's this is a weird thing. I had a guy hit me up and he was like, he's married and he wants some strange. Right. And so he hits this girl up. Some girl likes him. She liked him. She was flirting with him. And he says, he goes, yo, we should, you know, hang out. And then she found out that he was married. And she goes, the first thing she goes is, she says, not with your married ass, right? And I said to him, not with your married ass is not a no. That's a yes if you weren't married. You know what I mean? If it was no, if it's a whack ass nigga, and she goes, you gonna go.
This sounds like some toxic shit, Dante, but continue.
It's not. Here you go. Whatever.
Like, whatever. Give some pussy if he wasn't married. We all know that. There's a lot of things we'd all do, right? But it's like, so what you basically saying? You can still fuck her if you want to?
Am I saying that? I'm not the person that decides that. Ultimately, I mean, I'm empowering women to make their own decisions.
Here's the thing I think Dante is saying, though, and you've said this before, like, you're not recommending this guy fuck around, but this guy has made the decision, like, I want to fuck around outside.
Anyway,
so Dante's like, if that's what you're going to do, this is how you do it.
But,
like,
I'm, you know, I'm going to give you the whole thing. Okay. So,
don't build a bomb, but if you want to build a bomb.
Because Weezy does this. She always tries to cut my legs out.
No, I'm not, because I want to see I have a little advice I need. I can't say it on air, but I'm curious.
You don't even got to pay for it. You could call me. You know how we do. You could just call me and ask me.
It's interesting to me because I think what's commendable is that, yes, you guide people in the direction you're already going to go. Because I agree. Everybody is the choice, right?
Right,
and when people call you, I just had a friend call me for some advice. And she called, you know when someone calls you and they just want you to tell them what they want to hear?
What they already know.
I'm not sure if I'm going to break up with him, but I just feel like it's not for me, right? He don't do this, 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 and this. And on top of that, like, girl, you already know. You just want me to confirm.
Right.
I think that guidance that you're giving is smart. But what I want to know, and I'm curious, is do you tell people their consequence or do you just let them?
Oh, absolutely. So this is interesting about this thing. So the dude, first thing I said is when she said not with your married ass. I mean, there's a subtext to that. The subtext is, yes, I like you, but the circumstances don't allow me to cross that line. That's what she's saying. She's not saying, you know, like if this nigga is hideous, right? You go and he goes, yo, so what's up? We should hang out. And she gonna go, hell no, not because you're married. And I don't care if you're married and you're single. I'm not with you ever. That's a real no. So I'm going to explain.
Your ugly ass would be, well, if you weren't ugly.
If you weren't ugly, then that's what it is. If you weren't ugly, sure, which is not changeable. So I said that to him, and then I said, but look, but what he did was he's trying to shoplift the pussy. So he's hanging out with her, and he's going fishing, you know, they go fishing. And
after she said, not with your married ass, he's doing this?
She said that, and he was like, so now,
let's
if somebody,
anyway.
If it, now, if I'm in that position, and somebody goes, not with your married ass, oh, like, okay, good. All right, cool. Now, I'm ice cold. Hey, how you doing? Blah, blah. It's all about, it's you now, because you're not gonna just take my time, my comfort, my validation for granted. Like, this is every relationship is a negotiation in a sense.
I think the issue though with the married thing, right? It's more to me, if you're gonna end up, If you're the guy who's married who's going to start fucking with someone who's not into that, I think that's a bad call. There's many women that will fuck you when you're married. And I think that if someone's doing that already on the forefront, like, I have plenty of hoe-ass friends that love fucking married dudes, particularly because they feel like when they're sleeping with married men, it's less of an issue for them in terms of, I want to have some dick, but I don't really want the attachment. I want somebody right. that knows that they need to take me out and do these certain things because they have to, right?
Right.
When I fuck a single who can fuck anybody guy, right?
It's like whatever.
You don't have to put as much effort in there. But you know the married one kind of do because it's like you
nigga,
are
you married.
See, this is a whole exchange. And I really believe that, though. I really believe that when women are dating married men, they expect a little bit more because they have to know that nothing will come out of this. Nothing right. will come out of this.
Right,
what do you think, Harry?
I'll say it from the other end, though. We've experienced guys who've been in relationships and a woman goes, oh, I don't want to mess around with you because they don't want the responsibility of it, but they still want to fuck around. That's happened. Like, they'll come back around and then start fucking with you and they get angry that you have a girlfriend or whatever. So what I'm saying is it's not always a clean no. It should be no means okay. no, but sometimes a thing like that, like I'm not what you're married as, she doesn't want the responsibility of cheating with you, but she yeah. kind of still wants in, so that's why she hovers around. Like the fact that she's even going with this dude, if she's even hanging out with this dude after he said he wants to fuck around, lets you know that she still wants to fuck around. She just doesn't want the culpability of it.
Right. Also, but there's also a situation where she, if she's dangling that in front of him so that he puts in this effort so she has this validation, but she doesn't fuck him. If she does fuck him, she's already telling him up front that she doesn't want this, which makes him culpable for whatever happens. So it's like, well, he hit on me. He was pushing up on me. So she doesn't have that responsibility. But what I said to him is, I said, you're putting up with her. You're hanging out with her, not like, so he's hanging out with her and doing fish, doing this, doing that, and not, you know, I mean, he ultimately, I'm, you know, he has no problem doing fishing and stuff like that, but he wants some pussy too. So what he's doing is he's going, I'm gonna take you out. We're going to do things and I want some pussy. And she's going, well, if you take me out and you do these things, maybe I'll give you some pussy. And I would say that's not a negotiation. Like I always say, make ultimate decisions. Don't give ultimatums. An ultimatum is a negotiation without knowing what your leverage is. So if you say not with you because you're married, then I'm going to assume that that's what you think. And now we don't go fishing. We don't dish. It's now it's professional. Like, hey, how are you? It's great to see you again. Weezy, it's good to see you. Have a good day. Have a good, you know, now if she likes the intimacy of what was going on, the flirtiness, the texting, the this, the that, she doesn't get that anymore. Now she has to decide. But what he's doing, he's trying to shoplift the pussy. He's basically going,
just waiting around till she finally.
So she's weak enough and then jumps. And
so
then
she slips,
that's going to be.
Or gets drunk or
and this
whatever.
Is, and so you, when you yeah. said, you took, do I give people the consequences? I said, dude, you are not, you don't think you deserve a side bitch. You deep down, you don't think you deserve it. You don't think you deserve this other relationship. And that's why you're willing to compromise your manhood and your standards and whatever you want mm-hmm. from it. And so you're hoping. So you really just want to get pity fucked. Here's the other thing.
Why if does you, he want a side bitch? Did he tell you why?
Because he's kind of a clown. You know, he's kind of a clown. I mean, to be honest, it's like.
Does he listen to the show?
No, actually he doesn't.
I hope not after that.
And he was like, but it's, I mean,
well,
I would tell
him. What makes him a clown out of curiosity? What do
because,
you mean?
Because, Doug, if you have to, you have to feel like you're worthy of that other relationship. You have to feel that you're worthy of it. If you don't believe you're worthy, and a woman is going to believe you, women don't know us. We tell them who we are. You know, so if I'm acting kind of like, if I'm willing to take whatever you're willing to give me, right? Then you as a woman have to view me as like, oh, this, you really ain't shit. Like, you're really saying I ain't shit because I'm willing to take whatever you're willing to give me. I have no boundaries, no standards, no whatever. And I said, and here's the real thing. When this blows up in your face, you're not built for this. You're not built to handle this. Or what happens if the chick is vindictive and she goes, oh, this, you know, we've been fucking, but I just can't deal with it no more. I'm going to have to call your wife and see where as woman to woman, I need to talk to your wife about this. You don't even got that kind of swag to be like, yo, you got to do what you ever do. I'll handle that on the back. And you got to have strong legs to even go through that. I go,
I think a cheater has to be somebody that is, it's a very particular particular type of man if it's going to be executed well, right? Because for one, most people have a feeling they're being cheated on. Really good cheaters won't give that person that feeling.
I
think that if you know that you can't do both, then it's not something that's for you, right? Especially when you care about the other person. So if you're a person that really just needs to get some new pussy, because we all understand how great it is, and you can do that without going home and having a text and still thinking about the bitch and keeping that whole thing going, because people feel that energy. If you can really just make it about the sex, I think that that's not condoning cheating for me, but I can understand what you're saying about the type of person you can't cheat.
You're getting this. You shouldn't get this for at least validation and fulfillment of who you perceive yourself as a person based on this relationship, which is what happens a lot of time. Here's a dude that when this blows up in his face, right, he gonna be begging and hemming and hawing, please take me. He gonna be with his take me back. And if she does take him back, she's gonna put his nuts in a ringer for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life, he's gonna get every time something happens. You watching the baseball game? I bet you took that bitch to the baseball game. You know, it's like, it's always going to get thrown in your face. And you have to be able to say, look, you don't want to do this. We could just not do this. But I'm not going to have you abuse me, even if this was a mistake or what. I'm not going to have you abuse me for the rest of my life because I made a mistake or because I've crossed the line. And if you're not built for that, then you shouldn't do it. I said, you're not built to be this dude, and you're trying to be this dude. You want something that you don't have that you can't cash the checks
and
for.
You don't have the skill.
I think cheating is also a lot about ego too, right? I think at some point in time, for both people, like I know when I've made a mistake of doing that, it was mainly because I wasn't feeling wanted.
Right.
And it was like, I need somebody to stroke my ego and remind me I'm pretty because the pussy is good because you just used to having this pussy all the time.
Right.
It absolutely is a great point, Harry. I do believe it is a sense of power because you kind of feel like you got your ball back.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what? Well, fuck you. Like, it's my one little one-up. Right?
Yeah.
Honestly, cheating that I've done, it was never really, ever healthy for me because I just realized I wasn't really ready to let that other person go, and it's what I should have done.
Right.
I'm going as far as to cheat and do all this shit just to feel like somebody loves me, like, I should have just left your ass.
Yeah, you need to get some other situation going. But go ahead.
One of the things that she brought up was interesting. If a guy could just keep it sexual, part of the problem is guys would love to just keep the side hustle sexual.
That's not true.
To some extent, I think most of the time they would.
You want to keep it just sexual because you don't like the chick.
I believe that they would pay for it. I don't think that pussy is hard to access. I don't think pussy is hard to access at all. It could literally be sent to you. We can go back page isn't even open. You can look up Brooklyn Escorts right now. I can get a girl by the end of this fucking show.
Yeah.
But. Here's the thing, with money, or you either have to invest in something to get some free pussy, or your time. You got to fish, you got to take her to eat, you got to do all this, or you can just pay for it. I don't think that men like paying for pussy because of, one, the ego, and two, the chase. There is a part of cheating that is exciting because you get that feeling back.
Right.
And because of that particular feeling is why I don't think they want to keep it sexual. I really believe men enjoy that shit.
This is something Patrice O'Neal used to go to Brazil and he would you know, smash the chicks in Brazil, right? And the thing that he kept telling me, he used to always say, yo, the chicks in Brazil, they don't sell pussy, they sell dreams, right? So it's like they're your hooker, but they're also jealous. You know, they're papi, you don't like me, my mama. They give you the whole girlfriend experience, and so like, oh no. And then you want to be with another hooker, and you're like, you like her better than me. And he was like, no. And so there's this whole facade that they're going through, which is like you said, it's feeding their ego about something that they don't feel in real life.
Yo, question. I don't even know if this is a question or not. I'm in a relationship now.
Yeah.
I've seen there's situations where certain women will like do things and say things physically do things, say things, do little things on the internet to signify or let you know that
they like you.
Yes, things would happen. If you so press the button, things would be available.
Right, right.
And in that situation, it's like, I don't have to, there ain't no fishing involved. I ain't
got to. Right, right. I got you.
It's just, it's they like, say yes. And
that's also because, that's also because you're giving off this vibe of like that you deserve that. Not even if, not even that you don't indulge. What I'm saying is you're saying I am valuable. You understand what your value is. Mm. And so they're feeding off the fact that you understand what your value is,
your
and you're not sweating,
general.
You're not sweating them. And so
you
they're
know
going
what also tells that too. And sorry to cut you off, Dante. Mm. There's something that just came to my mind. I do believe that women want other men based on how they either treat that woman or who the woman is. And let me
wait, explain that
for a second.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a guy that when I lived in Florida.
Wait. Before you give me the story, explain to me what the concept
is. Oh, I am. There was a guy in Miami that I wasn't really always interested in until he got a girlfriend. And when he got a girlfriend, this is fucked up to say, but she was better than I thought she would be. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
Better how?
Create value.
I want to say, I don't know what kind of work she in. Maybe she was in the medical field or something, but like she was beautiful. She was doing shit. And I was okay, I see the type of woman that's fucking with you. Well, maybe I could have.
Well,
right?
here's a.
You see that as a woman, though. You're looking at it and you're now a little more enticed, right? Right. Now they're seeing either how you're treating that person. I don't know what you post or what you do that shows you could be doing something or out doing whatever, but it makes you realize you fumbled because now you're watching it dangled in front of your face. So you're likely to throw it quicker than you were before.
Well, it's also, you know, like genetically women look to other women for validation of the man. So like, you know, I remember years ago, I was running through the comedy clubs with all different girls and stuff. And chicks would go, every time I see him with a chick, you know, he's with a different chick. And then it's like, and they always happy. Like they're always just happy to be with him. And then they would go, so the girls around would be like, well, I want to know why this bitch is happy. I deserve happiness too.
How
like,
can I get in on that?
So the validation of women is an interesting, it's a technique. It's like a pickup technique that you create a bidding war between women a lot of times because if you,
I don't believe you can even help it. I don't think I'm the type of person that is genetic.
No,
it's really just there, right? Like, and this is just me being transparent and vulnerable. I don't believe to myself to be like this super like jealous, oh fuck what that bitch got type of person. But I know that him getting that girlfriend still made me do that.
But it's really genetic, Weez. You know, it's really genetic. I think a lot of times I think that there's this instinctual bed that's present that we, you know, in terms of mating, it's like 200,000 years of women picking the right men for whatever because we've survived as a species. And so you can't deny that. I mean, we're a cognitive beings, but there's a genetic basis for us to pick our mates, and if we fail in that as a species, then the species goes extinct. So the validation of women becoming women's validation making you more attractive is a genetic thing. The problem is that those instincts kind of seep through what I call a social contract. Fidelity, monogamy, marriage, all these other social constructs, and we're not even aware of what those instinctual things are. Like, so a lot of times the battle becomes the competition between two female entities that are trying to get this man. A lot of it after a while it starts becoming more about the competition than it comes about the guy. Except the guy is the worm on the hook, but it's the validation of the woman, and that happens on a instinctual
that
level.
That is an insane thing. And this is why sometimes, you know, I know we're conscious beings, but sometimes I really feel like we're no better than animals because
that
thing alone that you're talking about it being about the other person more than it is the man they want.
Yeah.
It's wild. Like I've done it so many times to myself.
Yeah.
Or will, like, you know, tear other women down because I think it's going to make me feel better about not being chosen or whatever. Like, it is a ridiculous cycle that we all constantly go through. And I actually don't really hear often men do it too much than women do. And I don't know why we're innate.
No, men do it all the time. Are you kidding me? Like, a guy.
Men do it to each other. Like, oh, he ain't shit. When it comes to, like, but with women, I've never more than anybody I know, my friends, it's always with my girlfriends, right? Mm-hmm. It's that we constantly pick on that woman or the other person. And with men, I have experienced if there's someone you want and she's got another dude, they will then put it on that woman. Fuck that bitch. Not the girl.
Yeah. Right. Like,
I have had dated girls in the past who will not tell their girlfriends about, like, our sexual stuff. And I'd be like, why? Oh, because then they're going to try smart? To fuck you. Yeah.
Yeah, because she's smart.
Yeah,
she's smart because she knows. But I think what happens is, Andre, I want to back up and go back to your question too. So if you can give me I think there are these instinctual drives, but men will do that. Oh, that nigga ain't this. That nigga ain't. Guys do the same thing, but it's ego based. It's all ego based, and so removing the ego is the thing that you can't make. Nobody makes great decisions. You can't give emotions a seat at the table. You have to remove the emotion and remove the ego to make real decisions. And so when you don't remove the ego, then you're operating on these emotional situations and you're really not assessing all the variables in place. So I think what happens is, and this is what I was saying about the dude who wanted to cheat, is deep down he doesn't think he deserves this relationship. Like, he wants it. It's, you know, like, when I was on your show and we were talking about threesomes, and I said, every guy wants a threesome, but nobody knows it's good enough to fuck two women at one time. Like, that is work. It's work to be in a threesome and have a good threesome. It's like, Dre was talking about this on the last one. You know, if I'm going to do a threesome, everybody got to be in. He wants everybody. Yeah. It's as the guy you're orchestrating.
Why I have a rule about threesomes, where I think having sex with women that don't normally fuck women is just not for me.
Right.
I don't want someone who's there thinking that
reluctant
one of us
participant.
Is fucking, not even that. Like, that she's got a suck dick better than me. Like, I don't want you to.
It's a competition.
You need to be thinking about fucking me and be excited to fuck me. It needs to be a fun time.
That's
and
it.
I think that the competitive shit is what makes it boring. And so when I watch porn where the two girls aren't doing anything with each other, I'm like, this is awful.
Well, here's the other thing. I'll tell you something worse. I've been in a situation where two dudes are fucking a girl, and it's always a competition. It always, everybody's trying to, so it becomes this kind of thing where, like, you know, she's sucking your dick and you fucking her, and now I'm going to fuck her hard so she can't keep your dick in your mouth. You know what I mean? It just becomes petty. And then this chick becomes a pincushion she's just the feel that we're playing and we're really competing our manhood, which is the whole point. What's the point of having, I mean, sex, the intimacy of sex is what's important. That's what makes it good.
It's actually something that I've thought about, like, I think that every woman's fantasy is to have sex with two men. They'll just never admit it or ever do it because of what they'll feel like, right? Like, I would probably love to do it. I'd be like, they don't care about me and I wouldn't be able to do it. So right. I think what's interesting is that women really don't want to have, it's called a bisexual male threesome where the two dudes could, like,
don't want that. Yeah.
They don't. And it's like, it's just crazy how the way that we think of threesomes is two women and a guy and two men and a woman is a train.
Yeah.
And it's weird how he's like,
you are the first person that I didn't have to correct that with.
Explain that
two men is a train, two women is a threesome.
I don't believe two men are a train, but I'm just saying, I know what you think. It's a toxic ass. No, but I think mainly the reason that we call it a train, or we could use verbiage like that, is because the two men won't connect. Right. Is it really a threesome in essence? But yes, I mean, it's three people having sex. It's
AKA the devil's triangle, as we learned from Judge Brent Kavanaugh.
Roasting. Oh, Brent Kavanaugh, I forgot about
The devil's triangle? Boofing?
Or what he refers to as a drinking game that we all know is not a drinking game.
Drake.
I mean, you're drinking something. But
Dre, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. We got off on what the question you was asking. So you got the it's available to you, and what were you gonna say? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you did answer it with the whole thing of like knowing your worth, maybe, because I'd have no idea. It's not nothing I'm doing. I don't feel that I'm doing anything.
Oh, it's everything that you're doing. It's not doing it maliciously. Yeah, but you're being present. You're being confident. You're pursuing the best version of yourself, and that exudes. It's been
like weird stuff where it's like, at one point, I brought her to a
get together. This is the double chest.
Yeah, and right in front of her, and it's like, oh shit, you didn't do that before. Why today?
Yeah, I remember being at brunch and the waitress was like, oh my God, your earring is so, and reached up and grabbed my earring.
Like,
and I was and I was like, yeah. And she would be like,
you know her? And it's like, nah, I have no idea why this woman chose.
Grabbed my earring and said, oh my God, what is it made of? And I was like, but now you got to do it, which is what you did. I was like, look, what are you doing? You got to shoot her. Because if you shoot her down, then your chick is like, oh, this nigga is the greatest ever.
I know.
But if he's like, I don't know, it's me.
Yeah, you know, I'm here. Yeah. This is real.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I get, when I'm like into somebody, oof, and somebody else starts that comment or they touch them, oh, it's a wrap.
Bitch, what the
you gotta G-check that bitch.
And you gotta what you not gonna do, bitch.
Yeah, well, I'll suck a dick in a bathroom if you do. I'll be like, come on, baby, let's go. Let's do it right
if nigga like, yo, what you doing? You don't see me here with my lady, and just don't be disrespectful.
Walking down the street, just barking at different women. Leave me alone.
Clean, mop up the floor, do some shit like that. Oof. I love when men try to let other women know, like, yo, you don't see me with. Oh, yeah, you heard her.
You handle that. You handle that, right? I'm gonna just sit over here. But
oh my God, the need for validation is ridiculous.
Andre called me up about this. He was at the thing, and the girl, what she did, she laughed and hit this nigga on the chest, put her hand on the chest, and it was, and that's when we start getting panicking, like, oh shit. Then she went back for the double chest.
Yeah.
Tell the story, Dre.
I said hi to a friend. I'm standing right there with my girl. And then I said something. People laughed a little bit. We were joking around. And when she laughed, she did the laugh and tap. And I was like, all right, a laugh and tap is a let go bull offense.
That's fine. That happens.
And then she did she doubled up the laugh tap with a slight drag.
Boom, and then a slide down the chest. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh fuck, now I'm in a situation. There's a circumstance.
Now what did you say? What did you do? Oh yeah,
I did the Ray Lewis block.
Oh, you blocked the hand?
Put the hand up.
You Heisman. You did the Heisman on you still.
I did the wax on part when you did this. I fucking sweep the hand a little bit. I was like, yo, you wildin'? And then I picked my girl up and walked away.
Good move.
You know, I never really knew how to handle those situations when I was touring because my podcast is about sex. Mm. I have people come on stage, I show them sexual positions, and then I'd be in a meet and greet with my nigga like, no, now you can't touch my ass because I'm off the stage.
Yeah. Right.
It's a very difficult thing for me, and it's something that I honestly need to navigate and learn about now because I had a therapist tell me that I will never make a man feel emotionally safe because of what I do for work. And he said that I have to make a conscious choice every single time to remind them and let them know that I'm with them. And he's like, the most confident man has to look at 1,000 people.
That's sweet. Wait, hold up. I want to deal with that, but I want to shut this down, and everything we do after this is going to be behind the paywall. So
on
the Patreon. Can you plug the podcast and then real quick and all your plugs? And go ahead.
WeezyWTF on Instagram and Twitter. I don't even be talking about nothing. And maybe on Instagram you'll see an IG live nipple slip. Who knows? Horrible Decision is my podcast. Spell out whore and we pop up.
Okay.
All right. A great way to promote your Instagram, by the way. I like that.
Nipple slip.
It might be a nipple slip.
Harry did that, and then we didn't get no followers.
We lost 17 people. It was very...
I lost 17.
Yeah, it's very weird. Because only 3 people were watching. So, it's, I don't know, word got out.
They spread it around.
Yeah, yeah.
Harry's titties is out. Gut Drake, real quick.
Andre D. Thompson on all stuff.
Yeah. Harry, talk to me.
Go to IHateComedy.com. That's my website. But also check out the Man School 202 YouTube page, where we have this and other videos and the full episodes. And also definitely check out the Instagram at RealManSchool202. We're trying to up our followers so we could do some big things. So if, and if you can't support us on Patreon, that's another way to support us. But we definitely love everybody who's coming over with us on Patreon as we continue with Wheezy.
Yeah. Everything Dante Nero on the social media, one-on-one consultations at DanteNero.com. Just click on consult. And please, if you can, I know you guys say I've helped you in a lot of ways. I'd appreciate it if you could help us and support us on Patreon. To sign up with the Patreon, it's patreon.com/manschool202. So check that out. GYBB, get your balls back. WWDD, what would Dante do? The Sexual Revolution is being podcasted. I love y'all. We are out. We're going to continue with Wheezy behind the paywall. Peace.
Manschool 202 is created by Dante Nero, hosted by Dante Nero, with Harry Turjanian and Andre D. Thompson. Produced by Harry Turjanian. Executive producers Matt Kleinschmidt, Harry Turjanian, and Dante Nero.